Holy Spirit himself will teach us and will gain a better understanding of your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Of course, we don't need any reminding that we've been looking at a series on Jesus, our example, Jesus, our example on various things, various aspects of life. But when we look at all the things we are looking at in terms of studying the life of Jesus and him showing us examples in those areas, we will find out that it is possible for us to reduce them. What we are trying to do or what we are trying to achieve, we are able to reduce it into three main areas. Because when we come together like this and we say, Jesus, our example of this, Jesus, our example of how to eat, Jesus, our example of how to sleep, Jesus, our example of how to walk, Jesus, our example of how to laugh, Jesus, our example of this, that. Why are we doing this? There are three main things that I believe we want to bring out of it. First of all, we are studying Jesus for our spiritual well-being. How? Somebody said, if you want to be successful in any area of your life, what do you need to do? You will go and study people who have succeeded in that area. That is why you see a lot of rulers, they will have studied and read about previous rulers. They read biographies of people. They know, they can tell you what happened in that country, in the so and so and so. Because they look at the step, they look at the mistakes those people made. They look at what the ingredients were that made them successful. What were the ingredients? In fact, if you look at the whole Bible, the essence of the Bible tells us, is so that we can see these things for our examples. So we look at where people fell, where people made it, how they made it, what did they do that was pleasing to God. So we are studying Jesus for our spiritual well-being. Because Jesus was victorious, praise the Lord. And we know if we follow after his example, we too will be victorious. Also, we study the example of Jesus, not just for our spiritual well-being, but also for our welfare. Is that not true? For our welfare. Revelations 5:10 talks about him having redeemed us unto his Father as kings and priests so that we will reign on the earth. Right? Praise the Lord. So that is for our welfare. And in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he talks about the thoughts that he has towards us. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, for welfare, and to bring us to our expected end. So it is for our welfare. Because it was well with Jesus, it will be well with us in Jesus' name, as long as we follow his footsteps. And lastly, which is where I am going this morning, we study Jesus so that other people can benefit. Other people can do what? Can't benefit from it for their own spiritual well-being and for their welfare too. Now, one of the questions that came to my mind as I read a correspondence that came to my attention is this. This very important aspect, the spiritual well-being and the welfare of others, how well are we committed to it? For example, when was the last time, I think I should be asking this question from the whole congregation. When was the last time we led somebody to Christ? When was the last time? In the last 1 year, how many people have we led to Christ? How many people have we discipled? Somebody who is not a Christian. Who is not a Christian, or who is neutral, or maybe they have been they've been going to church, but they are not born again. How many people have we actually discipled? Because we are studying Jesus, right? What did Jesus spend his lifetime doing? He spent his lifetime discipling people. He said, I will walk the walk of my Father while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can walk. And that was what he spent his time doing. And everything else that he did, everything that he did was to facilitate the work of his Father, that is, drawing people to the kingdom. So, all that we have been studying is basically to help us or to facilitate our ability to draw people unto the Lord as we have come to him. And one of the things that Jesus did that energized his ministry and made him successful is what we are looking at this morning. Jesus, our example of withdrawing. Jesus, our example of withdrawing. Do you know, you remember that we have also looked at Jesus, our example of social contact with people. So when we look at this, all this aspect, basically what we are talking about is that there has to be a balance. We have to balance out everything, every area of our lives to reflect, the life of Jesus. How well are we doing this? There's a tendency for us to elevate the social aspect of our fellowship above these other aspects. So, and I'm sure that one of the reasons that God is telling us this morning is so that we can balance out everything. I like the statement from the first paragraph here. It says, someone said, one of the greatest enemies of spirituality is busyness, not business. Busyness. Busyness may not necessarily mean that we have business to execute. Busyness. In order to develop genuine spirituality, we must spend unhurried moments where we simply wait in his presence. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. So, which means there are moments to be still before God. Can we just spend the next 5 minutes and talk around some of the things that seem to be militating against our being able to actually spend time with God, dedicating time to God? Can we, as a people, just, you know, go around the room and talk about it? You know, what are these things that tend to militate against our ability to actually spend time with Him? So we spend a lot of time on Facebook, internet. So we get busy doing those things instead of actually spending time with God. And do you know, before you know what is happening, the time is gone. You will have spent 1 hour, 2 hours. And you keep convincing yourself that in the next, you know, I've just spent 30 minutes and I'll go and read my Bible. I'll spend 30 minutes, I'll go and do this. I'll go and do that. And the time will have gone. And then you realize that there are other things you haven't done. I'll quickly go and do them before I come back to doing, to fellowshipping with God. And you end up not doing it. Good. Then the other, stemming from what you have just said, is the issue of priority, isn't it? The issue of priority. As a church, as children of God, I want to ask us this morning, what are our priorities? In the scale of apology to economics here, we call it scale of preference. Am I right? Scale of preference. That was what we were taught in those days. We were taught scale of preference. You know, when you are going to buy something, you make a list. And then when you look at the money you've got, maybe you cannot afford everything now. You say, okay, which ones do I need to get now? And which ones can wait till later? Where do we place God? I think that's the question that we should be answering individually. So, internet, Facebook, you know, what else are the things that stop us from? Okay, TV is another one. TV. Now, let me just say something to us. Even if we listen to the TV to watch people preach, okay? Let's say we don't even watch other channels. We are glued to Christian channel. It is not a substitute to our relationship with God. It is never a substitute. It is never. We will see some of the things that happen when we spend time with God. And we'll see why it is never a substitute. You cannot keep hearing. I mean, you know, without waiting for God to actually speak to you. He may have assignment for you and I. And if we don't spend time with Him, how are we going to know? How will He communicate to us? And I want to let us know that God's covenant is usually with individuals. Like somebody said recently, and I caught that. He said, God does not bless groups. God does not promote groups. God does not prosper groups. He blesses individuals. He prospers individuals. He covenants with individuals. Praise the Lord. No, that is true. That is true. If that's the way God acts, how will you and I develop relationship with him if we don't spend time with him? One of the things I'm enjoying, you know, with my new job is the ability to indulge my kids on some Fridays and some Thursdays by taking them to school or bringing them back from school, hoping that that way I'll develop some relationship with them. If you don't spend time with God, how can you develop relationship with God? What are the other things, before we quickly go through the rest, what are the other things that stop us? Our jobs. Let's face it. Sometimes we need to realize who the source is. The Lord that opened that door, he's the same God that can keep it open. And he's the same God that can even take you to a bigger level. And if you don't spend time with him, sometimes when he has something different for you, you may not even know. You will still be there, you know, doing the same thing when God is already saying, move on. Sometimes he does that because he's made provisions for you. I will give an example. I mean, I know people who have moved from a particular job, and as soon as they moved, it's like things started collapsing there. And if they had waited a bit longer, they would have been victims of the events in that place. So sometimes God may even want to speak to us and ask us to move. If we don't spend time with him, we will not know. My prayer is that we will hear from him as we spend time with him in Jesus' name. Now, let's quickly go through. We have 10 minutes more. Remember that one of the things we've said we've been doing in this place is by the grace of God, we'll be keeping to time. So, let's quickly look at instances where Jesus had withdrawn himself. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, as we can see in our bulletin, he says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. How frequently will Jesus withdraw? He will withdraw often. So it's not once in a blue moon event. And I want to tell us, it is not just our Christian race. Anything we do, if we don't really have time to process and meditate on those things, we are not likely to get the best result. So also our walk with God, we need to find time to withdraw and be in the presence of God. Jesus was doing it. In fact, let me tell us, it is not everywhere you are invited to that you ought to be going. If you do spend time with God, and I'm telling you, there are some places you'll be invited to and God will tell you not to go. How many of us actually spend time asking God if we should go out to a particular place? We don't. We are so carried away by the whole social thing than pleasing God. We don't even ask his opinion. God may not even want you to be at that place. We don't. I don't know. Some of us might be quite young, but in those days when we were in school, We used to have those SUs. We'll be in the class. We'll be hearing them praying in the bush. They will separate themselves. They'll be praying. How many people will do that anymore? When somebody does that now, we'll think the person is mad. But the Bible said Jesus will often separate himself. He will withdraw and pray. Some people, if you go into the wilderness and pray now, they say, you just want people to see you. Hasn't he got a bed? Hasn't he got a house? People, in fact, they will start quoting. Praise the Lord. I pray God will guide us in Jesus' name. He's already guiding us. I pray we will have a heart that will be receptive to the word of God. Matthew is actually not Matthew 13, 14, but actually Matthew 14, 13. This was when Jesus heard about what had happened to John. The Bible said, when he heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Do you know that sometimes when things happen to us, before we run to people, we should run to God. Jesus has just taught us how to handle a devastating situation. John the Baptist had just been beheaded. Instead of running to people and say, please, deliver me, save me, where do I run to? Tell me the route of escape. How many points can I lead out of Israel? How do I escape? How do I get free ride? How do I do this? The Bible said he did what? He withdrew. He sought the face of the Father. And of course, Jesus had times when he withdrew alone. He also had time when he withdrew with his disciples. So that as children of God, do you know if I ask that we fast and come and pray here? If there is a party in town, I'm sure 25% of us will not fast and come and pray. We won't. We would rather attend that party than coming to pray. No, I'm telling you. But the Bible makes us to understand that Jesus had times with his disciples. They withdrew and prayed. We should spend time together. We should spend time together just seeking the face of the Lord together. We should spend moments together just seeking the face of the Lord. It's not all the time that we really want to be drumming and do things. There should be time that we should be waiting as children of God and come together and break our fast. Just seeking him, not because of anything, but just soaking ourselves in his presence. How often do we do that? If we call a fast, hardly will you have 25% of people, wanting to do it. If we are satisfied with common practices, we'll get common results. Right? But when we want to go with God to the extreme, we'll get extreme results. No wonder those people in the Bible, Jesus himself was so powerful. Imagine he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. What happened after that? The Spirit of God came upon him. It is by waiting that the Spirit of God will come upon us. So he withdrew with his disciples. And of course, before he made any important decision, he will withdraw and pray. We've discussed that. So when we spend time with God, what are those things that will happen? The first thing is that it actually brings clarity to us as we meditate upon the word of God. It does what? It brings clarity. But honestly, if we speak the word of God here, because as soon as I say something, I'm going to follow it up with something else. Before you know it, that is wiped away from your mind. You don't really have time to meditate on it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Our transformation takes place in those moments when we are with Him. That is when we actually think. I don't know if you are the same. That is when we meditate on those words. That is when He speaks to us. I remember, was it yesterday or the day before? My wife and I were talking about something. She asked me to do something. And I disagreed with her. I think she just left the room. And I was by myself. And the Spirit of God said to me, He said, he who observes the wind will not sow. And he who observes the clouds will not reap. I was scared. So she came, and I told her, I said, do you know what God has just told me now? In other words, God said, I have to go and do that thing. Not minding what the circumstance is. If you don't listen, you won't hear. For your transformation, you need to spend time with Him. And then, the other thing is this. It is when we meditate upon these words that we become able to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23, we have it here. If we are going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, we need to spend time with God. There is so much form fear that we are almost chasing God out of our worship. There's so much, what? Form fear. That we don't. Do you know that if a preacher comes to preach and he spends 1 hour, 30 minutes to preach, most people will be moving in their chairs. A lot of things will be, there will be a lot of, you know, discomfort. But let me tell you, when we go to watch movies, how long do they last? 3 hours. And we sit through it. But when we come here for 2.5 hour service, and I'm 10 minutes late, I have to apologize and apologize, because when you look at people's faces, they are unhappy. So I'll have to quickly apologize. Please, next time we'll close at 12:30. Please. But when you're going to watch movies, you spend 3 hours there. We don't want to spend time in His presence. In fact, some of those movies, if they will last 5 hours, we'll be happy. We won't want to leave. And after the movies, what do? We'll go and buy coffee. We'll sit down and do, you know. And conveniently, we will have spent 5 to 6 hours watching movies. But when it comes to the house of God, we spend 2.5 hours. You say that church. You see, they don't close on time. They don't do this. We don't. But movies, 3 hours, 6 hours, easily. No problem. Internet, 10 hours. You go from side to side, no problems. We need to spend more time with Him, and God will bless us in Jesus' name. Remember, I've told us we are not worshiping time. However, I want to keep to time as much as possible, so there will be no excuse. Because some people say, oh, I don't come because they don't close on time. You know, I have afternoon shift and so on. We want to keep to time. Can we just rise up and pray? Can you just make that commitment to the Lord? Promising Him that you will make Him your friend to seek His face and you'll spend time with Him. Can you just speak to the Lord? Make that commitment to Him and see what God will do in your life. As you make commitment, you can even tie it to something in your life that you want God to do. Tell Him. Tell Him. And say, God, if you would do, look, I want to spend time with you, Lord, and I want you to pay attention to this aspect of my life. So can you just speak to the Lord this morning? Quickly speak to him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, Jesus got results because he spent time with you. We will get results in the mighty name of Jesus. I say we are going to get results in the mighty name of Jesus. We are going to be empowered. We are going to be emboldened. Lord, every veil that covers our face, they are going to be removed. We are going to move to higher grounds in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your word this morning, because they have not been spoken in vain. Lives will be transformed in this church, from the youngest to the oldest in this place, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. I say,